Hey, take your Bibles this morning and let's turn to Acts chapter 28. We are coming to the end of the book of Acts. And we know that Paul is a prisoner on a storm-tossed ship. And he is on this ship with 276 people. And I think he probably could have sung the old song, "Oh, what a night." "Oh, what a night," late October back in 60 AD. "Oh, what a very special night for me. Oh, what a night." Well, it was a night for Paul. In the midst of the storm, an angel of God appeared to Paul and reminded him that he was going to make it to Rome. And just for good benefit, he says, everybody on board's going to make it as well. And then later on, verse 33 of chapter 27, just before dawn, it has been one ride. Just before dawn, Paul urges them to eat. And my son says, "I like this one because it's almost like Paul says, let's party. Let's just eat." And we find here, let me start reading down through here a little bit more. Verse 39. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. Well, this morning we want to consider how the believer should handle the unexpected things that come into your life. There are times when you are heading for the sandy beach, and right along the way you hit the sandbar. There are things that happen. We all have them. We are planning on heading on time, and all of a sudden the car won't start. We plan on having a paper ready, and the printer won't work. We have all kinds of things like this. Maybe you get fired or laid off. You were not expecting it. The bills keep coming. Sometimes God allows shipwrecks, sickness, job termination, relationship breakups, and many other problems in life. However, we can be assured that God is with us. Hebrews chapter 13 says it this way. Be careful. Keep your lives free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. Because God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" God may allow the shipwreck so that we may learn to trust him more than the ship. But God will still take care of us because we are more valuable to him than the ship. And we need to learn to rest in these things. And once again, I probably need to preach this message to me, just as much. Because there's times when I don't handle the unexpected very well. And all of a sudden something can change my plans. And I can get all frustrated. And Paul is trying to tell us, hey, believers, you got someone going for you. And you need to learn to trust him even when the unexpected comes your way. What can we do? Well, I guess I like to think, first of all, we often make our plans, but we should always remember that God is directing our course. He's leading. On our way to Rome, we may end up in Malta. We may. And, you know, it's called Melita in the King James. It's now referred to as Malta. Malta's, and did you have a Malta experience this week? You had other plans and all of a sudden, kapow, you hit the sandbar. You know? And you think, how did you respond? Oh, Mrs. Cuddy knows I don't always respond the right way. Yeah. And you can get rattled, and yet, once again, Lord, preach to me. Teach me that you are a sovereign God. And my unexpected events are not unexpected to you. In fact, you might put some of them on my path. 1 Peter, once again, we have a lot of great things going for us as believers. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In these things you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief through all kinds of unexpected trials. These have come so that your faith, which is of greater worth than gold that perishes, even though it's refined by fire, that your faith may be proved genuine, and you may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Well done, Brian Cuddy! You persevered! Some of the hardest verses is James chapter 1. You've seen them many times. Count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So, this week, when you hit the sandbar, just remember, God has it there for a reason. And he's trying to shape you, mold you, conform you more and more to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is the believer to respond? It says here, verse 28, once safely on shore, we found out the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Number one, I'd like to encourage you this week, when you have the unexpected event that slams into your life, would you please at least pause and appreciate the good that you do find. What Paul can say, we all made it. We're safe. We found a group of people here. King James says barbarous people. Barbarous basically means they spoke a different language. We couldn't understand them, But they showed to us a language of kindness. They built a fire for us. They welcomed us. There's going to be times when we get to do that for others. When they're having their sandbar experience. When they're tossed overboard. Can you speak the language of kindness to them? They may need you at that time to put the arm around them, to warm them up because they're cold, it's wet, it's raining. So please appreciate the good you find. Look for the good even when you crash into the sandbar. Number two, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and I guess I want to ask you, look for ways that you can help. I say this again, I love the Sandusky Baptist Church, and I appreciated the other day, we start putting away tables and chairs from the funeral dinner, and it's always nice for me to see guys that aren't a part of the Sandusky Baptist Church at all, but somehow they're relatives or they're friends to the Tantons, and all of a sudden they come up and says, can we help you? I like that kind of person! That's the kind of person I want to be! That's the kind of people I want Sandusky Baptist. I want you to be first in line! You know? I want you to be able to say, hey, I want to help you. So I pray that might be part of your makeup as a believer, that you're going to look for something you can do to help. Well, Paul gathers a pile of brushwood. Now, he might have had a soldier over saying, hey, you do this. But he grabs a pile of brushwood. He puts it on the fire. And just what happens? A viper or a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, fastens itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effect. Oh, guess what? Sometimes when you're trying to help, you can become the victim. And I ask myself a question here. Why Paul? Why Paul? Why a poisonous snake? And when I read about the viper latching onto Paul's hand, my mind it just goes to the fact that Satan would love nothing better than to thwart the promises of God. Because God has told Paul what? As you have preached for me in Jerusalem, you will preach for me in Rome. And oh, Satan would just love to be able to thwart the promises of God and make God out to be a liar. Satan is still on the business. He's still at work in our lives. There's an interesting hymn in our hymn book. We've sung it many times. It was written by Martin Luther. It's called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. The first stanza goes like this. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. And then the verse goes on to say, if we were in our own power to provide, our battle would be losing. But we have the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. And I'm grateful that Satan would be there to latch on to good old Paul and thwart the promises of God. But I love what Paul does. He shakes it off. Oh, Brian Cuddy, when the unexpected comes your way. Oh, my wife is praying for this. Shake it off, Brian. Shake it off. Don't get so torqued. And I need to learn that. I think the problem is I know some of you too, and you need to learn the same thing. That there needs to be a means of having victory instead of letting Satan have the victory at that moment in your life. I don't get all A's on this one. But this is an area where I think my Lord would say, shake it off, Cuddy. Don't you know whose you are? And I pray that we might trust the Lord in the midst of our trials more and more. Well, the Lord says we can shake it off. 1 Corinthians 10, very familiar verses to you. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has taken us, but such is common to man. Your sandbars are going to be like somebody else's sandbars. No temptation has taken us, no trial has taken us, but such is common to man. But along with that temptation, or along with that trial, God will provide a way of escape that you may be able to stand up under it, that you might be able to shake it out, and to be able to say, Lord, oh, I just know, I'm thinking through my scenarios of life, of how many times I've blown it at this moment in my life. And yet God would say, there is an ability to shake this off. Trust me in this. We find also, he keeps on going here. And sometimes the problem in life, sometimes your multi-event involves people who previously helped you. Now they are there to convict you or condemn you. And sometimes, be careful how you treat people when they hit their sandbar. Yeah? Be careful how you treat people when they hit their sandbar. Because sometimes we can become, well, they must have hit that because they did that back when they're a teenager. Come on! God has the sandbar there for a different reason. And so be careful about condemning and convicting and speaking about people just because they hit a sandbar. Yours will probably come tomorrow. But we do need to remember this. When you hit the sandbar, usually somebody's watching. And they're gonna see how you respond when the unexpected comes your way. And I pray that we might be able to be like Paul, because he shakes it off. He suffers no ill effect. The people expected him to swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. And there are people looking to see how you handle the sandbars of your life. You profess to be a believer, and all of a sudden, sickness hits your family. You profess to be a believer. Someone dies. And the unbelieving world watches that. And at times, they are waiting for you to crumple and fall. They're waiting for you to lash out. And when you suffer no ill effects, that doesn't mean you're emotionless, but it means that you're still saying, Lord, I trust you. I still love Jeremiah. Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all I'd hope for from the Lord. I remember the affliction. I remember the wandering, the bitterness, the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. His compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. God is good to the man who seeks him, to the man who waits for him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And once again, I hear those words, and I know how many times I've lost it at the sandbar. But God is faithful. And he wants to teach Brian Cuddy, shake it off. Shake it off. You're a different kind of person. It's great when people see God in you during the unexpected mishaps of life. Even better, when you can be a blessing to others during their trials. Then, verse 7, there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official on the island. He welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went to see him and after prayer placed his hands on him and healed him. When this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with supplies we needed. Once again, it's great when people see God in you during unexpected mishaps of life. And it's even better when you can be a blessing to others because he is in your life. Let's pray. Father.